Welcome, welcome to the best 5 minute wine podcast with Forrest Kelly.
Our guest, founder of AvidVines.com. Avid Vines Organic Champagne, standing apart.
The best 5 minute wine podcast.
David Afariat, Avid Vines LLC. And we are all about making the rewards merit the routine by specifically importing organic champagne from France, from owner growers to the U.S. for people who appreciate sharing amazing experiences and celebrating this moment and thriving in the next with no regrets.
Yeah. Okay, David, you have got a rich history here, and I have got a question from head to toe. Let's get into your background and where you were raised and kind of the journey that led you to where you are now. You were born and raised where?
That's a great question. So I actually separate the two. Where you're born and where you're raised is really defined by where you learned how to drive. So because you're chauffeured, you're born, you can be born anywhere, and you know, you're chauffeured around until you learn how to drive, then you become invested in where you live. So in my case, I was born in Buffalo, New York, but I am from two places where I learned how to drive. One was in Dallas, Texas, and the other one was in Provence, France, in a town called Toulon, which is right on the Mediterranean.
That's where your beginnings, your introduction to wine and champagne?
So my introduction to wine and champagne really started early on with a kind of ease and relaxation around the table, where my mom is an excellent cook. Wine was just not something like, you know, keep away, but say, here, try a little taste and use it as an ingredient, or think of it as like salt and pepper to a meal. I wouldn't say I was an immediate fan to it, but certainly as I learned how to start driving and I went off to college, I was one of the first ones of my group in my fraternity, for instance, to kind of say, hey, look, this is, everyone would go out like on a midnight run to Taco Bell, and I would save those marbles. And I would say, look, I'm going to hold back. And I actually worked at a hotel. I was like a front desk, and I turned into a kind of a concierge for the Embassy Suites that I worked at. And I would have like this huge map with pins on it well before the internet, before like Yelp or anything like this. And I would, like I said, save my marbles. I would take a friend of mine and I'd say, hey, let's go to this nice place, you know, for saving up for the week. And have a nice meal. And then I'd come back and they'd be like, okay, that's great. If you want some great Italian, you go here. If you want a great Indian, try this around the corner. And from early on in college, for sure, I was more about what's the experience of, you know, of food, and how can I understand what people are trying to do and present, you know, and appreciate it. And then I've subsequently become, a lot of my friends are chefs, and I have, through osmosis and being around them, learned some, you know, incredible knife skills and elevated my game to, you know, I've never taken formal training, but gosh darn it, I'm a pretty good chef. And so you have to appreciate flavors. That develops your palate. Bringing in, you know, champagne, that it's a big endeavor to really get into partnership with the kinds of champagne houses that I find and I meet with. You know, you're making a multi-year commitment and a capital commitment. And so you've got to be pretty fine-tuned about, you know, I like to bring in what I like to bring in, and I like to share it with people that I think can appreciate my palate as the filter, as the curator. You know, it's like a museum. So, you know, I better be very on point. And I can explain a quick story, you know, about that. But the point, the larger, you know, point is that I've had champagne and wine in my life for a long time, right up until the point where started, you know, getting a little bit older, started getting headaches from champagne. And I'm not talking about cava or prosecco, you know, those things would usually give me a headache. But from champagne, I started getting headaches, and I was like, this isn't right. So I was on the search to find something, and it naturally led me to organic production methods where they don't spray anything on the vines, and they don't put, you know, nitrates and additional kind of enhancements into the ground to get more yield. No, these are farmers who treat every intervention, if there's a bug or infestation of some sort, with just water, vinegar, lemon, as opposed to chemicals. And they're on top of their vineyards all the time to monitor for such kind of conditions. And, you know, the most champagne houses have to buy their grapes in order to meet worldwide demand. The champagne houses and the growers that I meet with say, look, I'm not going to sell my harvest. I'm going to hold it back, put my name and my family's name on it. And by golly, you know, this is what I want to sell. I'm not just going to make money on and selling grapes to the next big house.
Yeah.
Those are the kinds of people I want to bring, you know, to an audience in the U.S. who really appreciate champagne. Frankly, unlike any other, that's mass produced from grapes and purchased from every corner of Champagne. And these are from specific plots, from specific vineyards. And the result is just a heightened experience of enjoyment. And I love it. I want to share it with others.
You went to college. You graduated a degree in?
Yeah, I graduated from the University of Texas with a degree in economics and minored in French. I studied for a period of time during that experience in France and in the city of Toulon on the Mediterranean. That's where I learned how to drive a stick shift. That's where I kind of placed my roots and became very integrated into a wonderful family, the mother of which also was an amazing cook. And I felt like I was, you know, there was a sort of renaissance for me in understanding, like, whoa, this is an amazing way to live, get close to ingredients. Just her cooking was incredible and greatly, you know, influenced me and my time for the whole year. Most people spend a semester. I spent the year and then summer. And again, keep in mind the context is my father is French, so I'm a dual citizen as well. I've raised my children to share and to participate in this rich cultural, you know, heritage of the Mediterranean, the southern France that I've enjoyed. And so they subsequently now are fluent in French. But it all stemmed from that year, you know, living and visiting my family.
Yeah.
So in my teenage years, we would visit, you know, with my parents, this family that was also in France, my cousins and aunts and so forth, great aunts and the like. When I lived there for the year, I saw them as well, but I lived apart from them so that I could at least develop my own kind of identity. And later, as I had my career, I always kept in mind this idea of how do I continue to bridge these two cultures together in my life. That explains for a period of time after college, and just about 8 or so years ago, I was fortunate enough to privileged to lead the French American Chamber of Commerce for the southeast of the U.S. and for two terms, and that was an incredible experience, just to kind of, again, keep me vested. And then all the while, when one particular aspect of my career had reached its, you know, conclusion, growing a software company, I decided to put my efforts into importing the champagne based on a trip that I had made to Champagne in around 2018 with my family and extended family. We're very fortunate enough to be able to travel, and a lot of my immediate family, my sister and her family, they weren't as knowledgeable about the champagne. So I was like, all right. And then my nephews and such, and my children were of the age to appreciate it. But like, let's baseline this. Let's go to a big house and see how champagne is made. And they're exceptionally well. They're fantastic at presenting the way that champagne is made in English. You know, it's kind of like a Disneyland experience. You should go. You know, Tétinger is a great example. But you should also, if you can find someone, and like we do with our. Those who join our website and our newsletter, we have, you know, an itinerary and refer to it often and polish it and update it about go to the big house, then go to a small house, find these owner growers, find the ones like I'm importing, and they will welcome you with open arms. They don't speak as much English, but they make up for it in like hospitality and pouring champagne. And you know, everyone starts to understand each other when that happens.
Yeah.
And you just see how different it is, but you understand at least how it's made because you just had that presentation. Then they'll take you on the tour and they'll show you their, you know, modest but expensive capital and resources that they use to make their champagnes. And you suddenly start to realize, like, wow, they don't have to buy the grapes there. It's their own. And they, you know, they go through the same process, but the result is pretty amazing.
How do you remove the veil of champagne is only, and especially organic champagne, is only good for, you know, the new year or weddings or, hey, we won the Super Bowl?
So the way to get past champagne as a special, you know, occasion is the following. It's one of our mantras, right? So one of our first mantra was about these champagnes, you know, may the reward merit the routine is what we say a lot. And these champagnes are that reward for a good elevated. If your routine is to sit around and watch reality TV on the couch, there's a lot of other rewards that are way less expensive that you can reward that routine.
Yes.
But if you've got a high level curated wellness routine, these are the rewards for it because it helps you the next day. You haven't skipped a beat. The other mantra that we have related to special occasions is that you can't wait for a special occasion because too many times in my life, it's passed me by. It's like, okay, it's here. And then I'm like, oh my God, I forgot to bring out this amazing, what I wanted to share. And waiting for special occasions is not the answer. You're the special occasion. But there are times maybe like on a Tuesday where you have Indian takeout, and yet you need to, you know, you want to elevate Indian takeout on a Tuesday night, bring out the plates and put out, you know, your Indian takeout and serve one of these champagnes, in particular the Carte Pearl or from André Tessier or the Brut Classique from Raffelin de Pitre. And my goodness, that Indian takeout will have never, you know, been elevated as high as this moment. And the champagnes just play on these amazing flavors, right? So you have curries and tiki, you know, masaman, and you have the amazing kind of, in these particular champagnes, the two I just mentioned, there's a strong green apple, baked green apple kind of tart and rhubarb that just cling to these flavors. And then and make them sing. And when you're, this is the other thing we do. We bust a lot of myths about champagne. Champagne is not a cocktail. I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, you can drink it like that, but you're not doing it the way it's intended. It's much better paired with food. And frankly, it can pair with every dish along, you know, in a meal, because you still have all those flavors of the wine, but the effervescence is actually helping you clean your palate with every drink. It just makes the food more interesting longer as you extend the meal. The first steps and next steps really just come to avidvines.com. Let's engage in a conversation. Sign up for our newsletter, and that's the best way to. We promise we're not going to overwhelm your inbox. Once a week or so, we will send out an email about the story of these champagnes and how we approach a lot of these mantras we've talked about in more detail. And there's always the invitation to join our wine club. And in doing so, you're guaranteeing volumes and inventory shift and change. So we get batches in where we can, and then when it's gone, it's gone. We allocate our best for the wine club, and we make sure that we have those quantities for those in the wine club first. The wine club gets a discount as well as free shipping on the first order. And then the rest of it is just a flat rate shipping.
Avidvines.com is where you get started. In our next episode, we continue our conversation with David, founder of Avidvines.com. We get into some very serious questions. Champagne and breakfast, yes or no?
Hell yes.
Hey, Avidvines, philanthropic philosophy is guided by passion and commitment. Avidvines, certified organic champagnes. Avidvines.com. Organic, sustainable products. We wait for solutions to get things done and finish what we start. AFD finds philanthropic philosophy is guided by passion and commitment. Have it finds certified organic champagnes. Have it finds.com.
Champagne and breakfast, yes or no?
Hell yes. You know, and there's one, we have a rosé champagne, and this rosé champagne, when it's paired with anything that has dill in it, so eggs and dill or frittata or an omelet, I mean, toe curling pairing that will blow you away.
So you mentioned Taco Bell earlier. Are there some kind of pairings where it's like, what?
Yeah, sure. So Indian food and these the softer champagnes that have a little bit more Pinot Meunier in them, like our Carte Pearl or like the Classique from Raffelin de Pitre, with Indian food, just synced. If I had, again, back to, if I had this garlicky tzatziki sauce that's served with either Greek food or a gyro or a chicken shawarma, and I have that rosé, again, just, I mean, it you start to realize, like, wow, life is really a amazing, beautiful thing to take these and to have these sensations going on of how good this food is with how perfect the pairing is with the champagne.
Okay.
Yes.
Hell yes. Oh, funny. Avid Vines champagne, if it was a famous person, who would it be?
You know what? Frankly, because our persona, when I came up with, we call our persona Donna, and Donna is this woman who is the hub of her social network and who has this wellness routine. And I don't know why I chose, I do know why I chose Donna, because we had an early customer whose name is Donna. And only then later did I start to watch like this TV show, Suits.
Yeah.
And one of the characters in there is all confident and powerful woman, Donna, who comes in redhead and fiery and looking great. And so it kind of morphed into like, well, that's definitely, you know, Donna's, if Donna were giving you, you know, Donna has this in her back pocket. And when she, you know, wants to She's always pouring this kind of champagne.
If you could share a bottle of your champagne with any historical figure,
I would share it with my grandfather, who is in my mind, in my world, a very historical figure, and who immigrated and brought his family to the U.S. But the first thought, in more general terms that everyone else would understand, is that I would share it with Napoleon, because of his quote that he always, you know, he's attributed to, that, you know, I drink champagne regardless. I drink champagne in my wins to celebrate the victory, and I drink champagne in my losses to nurse the wounds. I'm drinking champagne.
Have you ever gotten a strange reaction because you've curated your and from everything from the, you know, controlled climate across the ocean, getting it here? You've taken such detail in making it a wow moment. Have you gotten a strange reaction from people?
Not bad.
Right.
No, I just, we have some people that are just in love with certain of the champagnes that we have and are obsessed with it. Even in the wine club, when we have a different allocation to, like, you can always buy, you know, extra bottles of it. And for them, it's just a reminder, like, okay, I'm getting this in the wine club, but I still want this. And so it all comes in together. But, yeah, and we've captured, you know, at our tastings and so forth, we capture testimonials, and you can interact with us with these reactions when you get the champagnes by just going following us on Instagram, which is @avid_vines on Instagram.
Okay.
And that's a great way to also kind of listen in on the conversation.
Two questions more. And then, is it acceptable, not acceptable, ice cubes and champagne?
Don't do it.
Yep.
Keep the bottle, you know, do the work, be intentional, set up as a guest, you know, your home for your hosting. You know, again, you share a bottle of champagne. I mean, only if you're in the industry and or a sociopath do you drink champagne alone, but it can be done. But champagne is really sings when it's shared. And so as you would prepare a guest, you prepare the champagne. Get it down to about 55 degrees, even if you have to put it in the freezer for an hour or in the refrigerator for, you know, in the day. And I mean, like, out of a wine cooler and into a refrigerator, or keep it out of a wine cooler if you have, just depending what people have. If you don't have that kind of refrigerated storage and you get the wines, just keep it in a cool, dark place, like usually your basement, not on top of the refrigerator, not out on display in the living room, but in a cool, dark place, and then bring it up and into the refrigerator for a day or so, and then boom.
The last part here, and you can take a moment to kind of collect your thoughts and things, but since you are bilingual, actually, you probably speak more than two languages, could you give us a toast?
Sure. Well, santé à tous et à toutes, des bons moments, des belles verres et des très bons amis. So, to your health, always, you know, in your glass with good food and good friends together.
There we go. That's how you do it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for your patience with all of this, and thank you for your time.
I appreciate it, Forrest.
Okay.
This has been fantastic.
Best 5 Minute Wine Podcast.
Don't forget my favorite part.
Please, please like and follow.